It's New York Times Magazine Presents, an occasional internet broadcast featuring matters of interest to readers of the New York Times Magazine. Tonight, The Funny Pages, Part 1. Welcoming our guest, internationally acclaimed cartoonist, Mr. Chris Ware of Chicago. I'm Jonathan Colton, playing the organ. And as always, from his high garret atop the New York Times building in Times Square, your host, John Hodgman.
Good evening. My name is John Hodgman. You have found me once again here in my sanctuary amidst the high attics of the New York Times building. Above the newsroom, above the magazine offices, above the bocce courts and the squash courts, the morgue, figurative, and the morgue, literal, is where I dwell. As a contributing writer to the magazine, it is my job to spin a tale for you from time to time. But tonight's story is somewhat different. For tonight, something spectacular is happening. So come with me, won't you, as I rise from my wicker armchair and make my way through these passageways and antechambers to the roof of the New York Times building. You can come too, Jonathan, if you want.
Oh, if that's all right, thank you, yes.
Yeah. Just leave the organ. We don't need that where we're going.
Oh, good, I'm glad. It's heavy.
As you may know, the New York Times Magazine debuts a new section tomorrow, called The Funny Pages, featuring a kind of newspapering that hasn't been seen in this country for some time. A full-page, old-style comic strip, a serialized crime novella, and funny first-person stories from a variety of interesting people in unusual professions. We're very excited about it here, and I've been proud and pleased to do some consulting on it myself. And as you may know, a huge crowd has gathered in Times Square to await the debut of the Funny Pages. Or perhaps just to do some shopping and see some shows. It's difficult to see from this height, but they are out there. And now we are as well. Well, Jonathan, it's a beautiful night, isn't it?
It certainly is. And looking down on that crowd of people, they look very small, almost like ants.
Well, you know, to me, at any height, people look like ants.
That's true.
But there does seem to be something extra ant-like about them tonight. Excited, their pincers honed, awaiting the Funny Pages. The Funny Pages, as you know, has three parts, the first being the strip, a comic that is being contributed by famed cartoonist Chris Ware, and we're going to join him tonight by the magic of internet radio. Would you please use your electronic devices to home in then on Mr. Chris Ware in Chicago, Illinois?
I will attempt to locate his signal right now.
Come in, Chicago. Chicago, come in.
Getting closer now.
You can hear the wind and the gangsters and the big shoulders.
I'm just about finding him now. Here we are.
I have reached the cartoonist Chris Ware in Chicago, is that correct?
Yeah, more or less. I live in Oak Park, actually, which is the nearest westernmost town.
The name of your strip is called Building Stories?
Right.
And there's something sort of ridiculous and Fiorello di LaGuardia-like about describing a comic strip on the radio, even if it is internet radio. But
Yeah. Can
you give our listeners kind of an idea of what they're going to see in the Funny Pages when they open up page one?
I can try. Probably this won't be terribly interesting and probably sort of inert, dry, boring story that will progress at a glacially glacial rate. And
may I just pause at this moment, Chris, to say you're a hell of a salesman.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just trying to be honest. I don't want to have anybody think that it's going to be exciting or there'll be like gunplay or espionage or anything like that.
It's a story about an apartment building.
Right, and the people who live therein.
And elements of the building disappear so that you can see within the building and
Right. The
different rooms in the building and the different people in the building. And then, of course, you narrate all the things that had happened in that particular room, the number of heartbreaks and suicides
Right. And
clipped toenails. I'm not speaking from memory here, but just off the top of my head, things
Right. That
might happen in an apartment.
Given the fact that it's going to run for approximately half a year or so, 26 episodes, the first two or three are actually introduction, and then beyond that, each week is an hour in the, quote, life, close quotes, of the apartment building itself, which is, I guess, an idea that's been used in a TV show now for years that I just recently found out about, except mine won't be anywhere near as interesting or compelling. So,
but I also noticed that in a way,
though it's a one-panel strip, the rooms in the apartment building run up against each other in the same way that you might imagine a Sunday Funnies section looking, you know, with
right.
all the different panels lined up architecturally one above the other.
There actually was a strip done in Spain in the 1960s that did actually use that as its weekly structure. What you saw was a cutaway of a building, and all the rooms were the separate panels of the of that week's story, which seemed like a horrible torment for the artist. I'm amazed that he was even able to do it for as long as he did, though it was much more cartoony and sort of loose than what I'm doing.
And, of course, George Harriman, the creator of Crazy Cat, his precursor to Crazy Cat was that apartment building drama, The Family Upstairs, where it was always
right.
the guy railing about the invisible family upstairs.
That's true. Actually, a friend of mine, a cartoonist, Seth, is here in town right now, and we were just talking about this last night, that some of the very earliest film scenarios and were lifted from Victorian magazine cartoons that showed a simultaneity of action between first and second floors of buildings.
Really?
Which is kind of, yeah, or inside and outside, like somebody rapping on a wall or something, or which is kind of a weird idea because you just simply don't see that anymore.
Well, one of the things you don't also see anymore is a Sunday comic strip told in a great big single panel that is broken up according to the cartoonist's whim.
Right. That's true. Well, I rail about this at any given opportunity, probably to the exhaustion of anybody who's ever heard me say anything about it before, but in my opinion, at least, I think the Sunday comics kind of atrophied somewhere in the 1930s or so when they started to imitate adventure serials that were being made for the movies, and they started to internalize the language of cinematography with camera angles and close-ups, and it got to the point where, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but before that, where the panel actually sort of represented an enclosed space, almost kind of like what you're talking about, as almost being a room unto itself, the panel suddenly became a way of sort of selectively deleting space and moving around, and from that point on, comics almost became a sort of illustrated story rather than an actual language of something happening on the page. So the comics that I really like are from the turn of the century up until that point, like Crazy Cat, like you mentioned, and Little Nemo by Winsor McCay, which also ran in the New York World. And Lino Feininger's Kinder Kids, he was brought in from Austria to fill a space in the Chicago Tribune in 1906, sort of self-consciously. They were trying to elevate the Sunday section of their newspaper by bringing in a bunch of German and Austrian artists, and that experiment barely lasted a year before they fell back on some of the most kind of rough and tumble middle brow comics that then ended up being some of the most popular, like Little Orphan Annie and The Gumps and Gasoline Alley. Usually the Daily was much more of a continuing story, and the Sunday would be more of a flight of fancy, and that became sort of the modus operandi for most cartoonists, because not only did they know that the readership on the Sunday strips was different than the daily strips, but that they had to get them in, I think, 3 months ahead of time so that they could be colored. So most of the time they just did a completely separate sort of experimental thing, especially Frank King, who did some very, very beautiful strips just about simple ideas like the seasons or a building being built or something.
Well, I really appreciate your talking to me about it.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. I'm such an inarticulate moron. I always, whatever. I'm terrible at this stuff. So.
Not at all. I feel as though it must be the greatest torture to you to have some meathead like me call up and throw a lot of compliments your way and just torture you that way. But we're very proud to have you, and I think it's a great coup for the newspaper. So.
Well, that's very nice. Thank you so much.
That's the sort of thing we can end on, I suppose.
Okay.
rather than you, you know, tearing yourself apart.
Plus, knowing that all these people are going to read it is real torture.
Well, is this the?
I don't know how you guys do it. I really don't.
Is this? I mean, you serialized much of Jimmy Corrigan in Chicago alternative weeklies, right?
Right, but I did it knowing that basically nobody cared, nobody was reading it, which is, you know. I like that feeling, you know, whereas in this case, at least, just given the circulation of the New York Times, I know that at least there'll be slightly more people reading it than before, so it's a little unnerving.
And well,
I've never been copy edited, so.
Right. We're all very excited to have you, of course, working for the Funny Pages, but if it gives you any comfort whatsoever, Chris, I couldn't care less.
That's great. Thank you so much. That's
good. Anytime I can be of help that way.
Wow.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town.
Hey, John.
Yes.
I don't mean to interrupt.
Is it toddling? Hang on. Is it toddling town or my kind of town?
I think my kind of town is actually a different song. But I the thing is, we're back from the transmission right now. So.
Oh wow! Holy cats! You're right.
Yeah.
That is an amazing technology. I thought we were still in Chicago.
No, we're not.
Of course, these cocktails might have something to do with it as well.
Yeah.
But in any case, it's contributing writer for the New York Times Magazine, John Hodgman, here atop the New York Times building in New York, with my producer and organist and apparently my geographic consultant, Jonathan Colton.
Hello.
And if you go on to click the next link, you'll hear our second broadcast from this location where the crowd is awaiting the debut of the Funny Pages. This is part two of the Funny Pages, the Sunday serial featuring a new novella by Elmore Leonard. And we will speak with Elmore Leonard, and he will tell us a little bit about this fiction that he is writing for the New York Times, the very first fiction the New York Times has ever published, in fact, a crime novella called Comfort to the Enemy. And I myself am looking forward to that. I don't even think I'm going to go back down into my study as long as we can get some more of these cocktails up here.
I'll send down for some more.
What are they called again?
They're called Timesies.
Oh, my goodness. Well, they do go to the head, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Chicago, Chicago. Oh, I spilled mine. Whoops. Well, enjoy down there.